A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know that feeling when a package from China arrives in Israel in under a week, and it feels like sorcery. Today we're pulling back the curtain on the first piece of machinery that made that possible. Daniel wrote to us about logistics and supply chain, something he finds endlessly interesting, and honestly, same. Here's what he sent. He says we've discussed before how the amazing logistics AliExpress put in place on the Israel route are really all about consolidation. There's consolidation at the export phase in consolidation warehouses in China, and a second layer through distribution via regional freight hubs like Dubai. He wants to zoom in on what was the first concrete manifestation of this strategy, Alibaba's decision to create a network of consolidation warehouses in China to gather orders from frequent buyers before moving them for air freight. These are cross-dock facilities. The goods stay or are held for a short time before being moved forward, but the volume is presumably enormous. His question: what are the unique challenges involved in creating this kind of warehouse and optimizing a supply chain for this kind of workflow, where the consolidation warehouse is a staging area for the actual haul?
So let's start with the problem that made this whole thing necessary. Because without understanding the unit economics, the warehouse strategy doesn't make sense.
Oh! Walk me through it.
You're an Israeli buyer on AliExpress. You order a phone case for $3, a USB cable for $2, a kitchen gadget for $8. Three separate orders, three separate sellers, probably three different cities in China. If each of those ships individually by air freight, the shipping cost alone eats the entire margin and then some. The math is impossible. The only way to ship a $5 item from Shenzhen to Tel Aviv and make money is to never ship it alone.
So the entire business model depends on aggregation before anything leaves the ground.
No, scratch that. It depends on aggregation before anything even reaches an airport. And that's where Kainiao comes in. Kainiao was established in 2013 as Alibaba's logistics data platform. The name literally means rookie or novice in Chinese, which is either charmingly humble or deeply misleading, depending on how you look at it.
Rookie. Sure. The rookie that now moves over a billion parcels during Singles' Day alone.
Right. And here's what most people get wrong about Kainiao. They think it's a carrier, that Alibaba owns a fleet of planes and trucks. It doesn't. Kainiao is primarily a technology and coordination layer. Most of the physical assets, the warehouses, the planes, the trucks, are operated by partners under contract. Kainiao's core asset is the data platform that orchestrates the whole network. It tells everyone else what to move, where, and when.
So it's a logistics operating system more than a logistics company.
That's the right way to think about it. And the first concrete thing they built with that operating system, the first physical manifestation of the consolidation strategy Daniel's asking about, was a network of cross-dock warehouses in the key Chinese manufacturing cities: Shenzhen, Guangzhou, Yiwu, Shanghai. These weren't fulfillment centers. They weren't designed to hold inventory for weeks or months like an Amazon warehouse. They were designed to receive parcels from thousands of independent sellers, sort them by destination, and push them out the door within hours.
And Shenzhen was the big one.
Shenzhen was the anchor. It sits right in the Pearl River Delta, which is where an estimated 60 to 70% of AliExpress sellers are based. You've got factories and small workshops cranking out electronics, accessories, textiles, everything that gets ordered by the millions. The Shenzhen Consolidation Hub can process parcels from all of that in one place. Peak volumes during Singles' Day exceed 50,000 parcels a day, per warehouse.
50,000 parcels. And the target is under 24 hours dwell time.
Under 24 hours is the baseline. High-performing facilities hit under 12. Some parcels touch the dock and are back on a truck in under 6. That's the whole point of a cross-dock. Goods arrive, get scanned, get sorted, get repalletized, and leave. There's no put it on a shelf and wait for a picker. There are no shelves.
So walk me through the actual flow. A seller in Dongguan, that's in the Pearl River Delta, just sold a widget to someone in Tel Aviv. What happens?
The seller packages the widget, prints a Kainiao shipping label, which already has the destination encoded in it, and either drops it at a Kainiao pickup point or has it collected by one of their partner couriers. That parcel gets trucked to the Shenzhen Consolidation Warehouse. It arrives at the inbound dock, gets scanned immediately. The scan reads the destination. Israel, via the Dubai hub, and the sortation system routes it to the correct outbound lane. Within hours, it's on a pallet with hundreds of other parcels all heading to the same place. That pallet gets wrapped, sealed, and loaded onto a truck bound for the airport.
And none of this works if the scanning fails.
That's the first unique challenge Daniel's asking about, the last mile of the seller problem. In an Amazon fulfillment center, Amazon controls the inventory. Everything is pre-labeled, pre-packaged to Amazon spec, sitting in known locations. In Kainiao's consolidation warehouse, you're receiving parcels from thousands of independent sellers. Some of them are professional operations with perfect barcodes and sturdy boxes. Some of them are a guy in a village workshop who printed his label on an inkjet that's running out of cyan.
So the error rate is inherently higher before you even start.
Much higher. Smudged barcodes, labels applied over seams so they tear when the box flexes, handwritten addresses that the OCR system has to decipher, packaging that's fine for a domestic truck but collapses under the weight of other parcels on an air freight pallet. The consolidation warehouse has to handle all of that variance and still hit the dwell time target. If a barcode doesn't scan, a human has to intervene. Every human intervention adds minutes. Multiply that by thousands of parcels, and suddenly, you've missed your flight cutoff.
And that's the second challenge, the batching puzzle. When do you actually close a pallet and send it?
This is where it gets genuinely interesting. You don't want to dispatch too early, because then you're paying for storage at the airside warehouse, and airside storage is expensive. But you don't want to dispatch too late, because then you miss the flight, and every parcel on that pallet is delayed by a day. So Kainiao uses predictive algorithms. They look at historical order patterns, current inbound volumes, flight schedules, and they calculate the optimal cutoff time for each outbound lane. The system knows, for example, that the Tuesday evening flight to Dubai typically gets a surge of orders placed on Sunday night in Israel. It adjusts the batching window accordingly.
So the warehouse isn't just reacting to parcels as they arrive, it's anticipating them.
It's anticipating the pattern before the parcels even exist. And that's the third challenge, customs pre-clearance. Once that pallet is sealed and on the truck to the airport, there's no time for individual inspection. The consolidation warehouse has to interface with Chinese customs systems in real time, pre-declaring every parcel's contents, value, and destination before the pallet leaves the dock. If customs flags something after the truck has departed, you're pulling a sealed pallet out of an airport queue, which is a logistical nightmare.
So the warehouse is simultaneously a physical sorting facility, a data integration point, and a customs brokerage. All under one roof, all in under 24 hours.
And the data layer is what makes the physical layer possible. Every scan at the consolidation warehouse feeds into Kainiao's platform, which means Kainiao knows exactly what's in the pipeline at any given moment. They can see that a pallet destined for the Tuesday Dubai flight is at 80% capacity with 2 hours to cut off, and they can decide whether to hold for more parcels or close it early. They can see that a flight is delayed and reroute a pallet through a different hub in real time.
That visibility is worth more than the warehouse itself.
It's the real asset. The warehouse is just the place where the data and the cardboard meet.
All right, so we know why consolidation matters and what the first warehouses looked like. But let's walk through the Shenzhen facility specifically. What does it actually look like inside?
Picture a building the size of several football fields, inbound docks on one side, outbound docks on the other. The entire middle is a high-speed sortation system, conveyor belts, tilt tray sorters, barcode scanners mounted above every lane. Parcels enter at the inbound side, get scanned, and the system assigns each one to a chute based on its destination. The chutes feed directly onto pallets. When a pallet is full, it gets stretch-wrapped and moved to the outbound staging area.
And this isn't like Amazon picking, where a robot brings a shelf to a human who picks one item.
completely different operational logic. Amazon fulfillment centers are designed for storage density and pick efficiency. Items sit on shelves for weeks or months. The challenge is finding the right item fast. Cross-dock consolidation is about sortation speed. Nothing sits. The challenge is routing thousands of heterogeneous parcels to the correct outbound lane without bottlenecks. If one lane backs up, the whole system slows down.
What causes a lane to back up?
Could be a surge in orders to a particular destination. Could be a pallet that filled up faster than expected and the forklift operator hasn't swapped in an empty one yet. Could be a parcel with dimensions that don't match what the label says. The system routed it to a chute designed for small parcels and suddenly a box the size of a microwave shows up and jams the chute.
And you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of SKUs. Every parcel is different.
Every parcel is different, and none of them were staged in advance. In a traditional distribution center, you know what's in the building because you put it there. In Kainyao's consolidation warehouse, you don't know what's arriving until it crosses the inbound scanner. The variety is staggering. Electronics, clothing, toys, industrial parts, novelty socks with cats on them, all mixed together on the same conveyor.
The novelty sock logistics industry is underappreciated.
It really is. But the point is, the sortation system has to handle all of that variety without knowing in advance what's coming. It has to read the label, determine the destination, check the dimensions, and route accordingly, all in a fraction of a second per parcel.
So, those are the mechanics of a single warehouse. But the really interesting stuff happens when you zoom out and look at how these warehouses connect to each other, and to the Dubai hub.
This is where the strategy gets elegant. You've got consolidation warehouses in Shenzhen, Guangzhou, Yiwu, Shanghai, each aggregating orders from their region. All of them are sending pallets to Dubai. But Dubai isn't the final destination. Dubai is the second layer of consolidation.
Consolidation squared.
Pallets arrive in Dubai from multiple Chinese cities. The Dubai hub breaks them down. Now you've got parcels from Shenzhen, Guangzhou, Yiwu, and Shanghai all mixed together. The Dubai facility resorts them, not by origin anymore, but by final Israeli destination. Tel Aviv parcels go on one pallet, Haifa on another, Beersheba on a third. Then those pallets are consolidated again for the final leg to Ben Gurion.
So the Dubai hub is doing the same cross-dock operation, but with a different sortation logic. Origin-based sorting in China, destination-based sorting in Dubai.
And that destination-based sorting is what makes the last mile fast. By the time the pallet lands at Ben-Gurion, the parcels are already grouped by Israeli region. The local delivery partner, Israel Post, or a private courier can skip its own sortation step entirely. That cuts 24 to 48 hours off delivery time.
Which is why a package that left Shenzhen on Tuesday can be at someone's door in Tel Aviv on Friday.
4 days, sometimes five. And it's not because the planes are faster, it's because the sorting happened upstream before the parcel ever reached Israel.
Compare that to traditional air freight.
Traditional air freight forwarding works differently. A forwarder collects shipments from multiple customers, brings them to the airport warehouse, and consolidates there, at the airside facility. The consolidation happens at the last possible moment, right before loading. Kainyao's innovation was pushing consolidation upstream to the source cities. By doing the sortation at origin, they reduce airport-side handling time and gain much more control over the process.
Because the airport warehouse is a shared resource, you're competing for space, for dock time, for customs attention.
You're paying airport rates for every square meter and every hour. By handling consolidation at their own facilities in Shenzhen and Guangzhou, Kainyao avoids that bottleneck entirely. The pallet arrives at the airport, already sealed, already pre-cleared, ready to load. It's not a shipment that needs processing. It's a unit that needs lifting.
Let's talk about the network effects on seller behavior. Once sellers know this consolidation network exists, they change how they operate.
This is one of the knock-on effect I find fascinating. Sellers learn that if their packaging meets Kainyao's standards, right barcode placement, right label format, right box dimensions, their parcels move faster. Faster delivery means better seller ratings, which means more sales. So sellers optimize toward the system's requirements. Better packaging, fewer sorting errors, faster throughput, lower costs. It's a virtuous cycle.
Kainyao doesn't have to enforce it. The incentives do the work.
The system trains its own participants. Sellers who don't adapt see their parcels delayed or returned. Sellers who do adapt get the benefit of a logistics network that delivers to Israel in under a week. The market does the disciplining.
There's a moat here too, isn't there? This isn't easy to replicate.
Massive moat. Three reasons. First, the upfront investment in warehouse infrastructure across multiple Chinese cities is enormous. Second, you need deep integration with customs authorities in both China and every destination country, and those relationships take years to build. Third, you need a critical mass of order volume to justify the fixed costs. You can't build a Shenzhen-scale consolidation warehouse and then run it at 20% capacity. The economics only work at scale.
A competitor can't just show up and say, "We'll do consolidation too."
Not without billions of dollars and years of relationship building. And even then, Cainiao has the data advantage. They've been running this network for over a decade. They have historical order patterns, seasonal surge data, lane-by-lane performance metrics. Every parcel that moves through the system makes the predictive algorithm smarter. That's a compounding advantage.
The pandemic was a stress test for this model, wasn't it?
It was the ultimate stress test. When COVID hit, commercial air cargo capacity collapsed. Passenger flights, which carry a huge amount of belly cargo, were grounded. Air freight rates spiked. Most supply chains buckled. But Cainiao's consolidation network gave them an option that traditional forwarders didn't have. They could charter dedicated freighters directly from the consolidation warehouses to Dubai, bypassing the congested commercial cargo system entirely.
Because they already had the pallets consolidated and ready. They just needed a plane.
They had the cargo pre-sorted, pre-cleared, and sitting at their own facilities. All they needed was to contract the airlift. And because their volumes were high enough, chartering entire freighters made economic sense. A smaller operator with fragmented shipments couldn't do that.
The consolidation network turned out to be not just an efficiency play. It was a resilience play.
Resilience through aggregation. The same thing that makes the unit economics work also makes the system more robust to disruption. When you control the consolidation point, you control your options.
What about the Israel route specifically? Is there something unique about it? Or is it just one instance of a general strategy?
It's one instance of a general strategy. The Israel route gets attention because it's a well-documented case with high volumes relative to the country's size. But the model is fundamentally the same as what Cainiao uses for other routes: Southeast Asia, parts of Europe, increasingly Latin America and Africa. The Dubai hub, for example, doesn't just serve Israel. It's a regional redistribution center for the Middle East, North Africa, and South Asia.
Israel is a node in a global network, not a special case.
Right. The logistics don't care about politics. A parcel is a parcel. The consolidation warehouse in Shenzhen doesn't know or care whether the destination is Tel Aviv or Bangkok or Nairobi. It just routes to the correct outbound lane.
Let's pull back for a moment. If someone's listening and thinking about building a cross-border logistics operation, what should they take away from all this?
Three things. First, the key metric for a consolidation warehouse isn't throughput alone. It's dwell time variance, how predictable the hold time is. Low average dwell time is good, but low variance is what enables reliable flight scheduling. If your dwell time averages 12 hours but swings between 4 and 48, you can't plan anything.
Consistency matters more than speed.
For scheduling, absolutely. A predictable 12 hours beats an unpredictable 6. Second takeaway. The consolidation layer is most valuable when it serves as a data integration point, not just a physical sorting facility. The real return on investment comes from the visibility and control the data provides, knowing what's in the pipeline, being able to reroute dynamically, feeding that information to customers. The labor savings from efficient sortation are nice, but they're not the main event.
And the third?
If you're designing a cross-border logistics operation, start by mapping the consolidation opportunity. Where are the small, frequent shipments that could be aggregated? The answer is almost always on the seller side, not the buyer side. Consolidated origin, not at destination. That's where the leverage is.
Because by the time the goods reach the destination country, you've already paid for the most expensive leg of the journey.
You've lost the opportunity to optimize the sortation. Once parcels are scattered across a destination country's postal system, re-aggregating them is expensive and slow. Do the work upstream.
What can we learn from all this that applies beyond Alibaba?
The consolidation warehouse model is essentially a logistics operating system. It's a platform that connects sellers, carriers, customs authorities, and last-mile delivery partners through a single data layer. And the natural evolution, we're already seeing the early signs of this, is for Kanyao to offer that platform as a service to other e-commerce platforms, not just Alibaba's properties. Third-party merchants, other marketplaces, maybe even competitors.
Turning a cost center into a profit center.
If you've already built the network, the marginal cost of adding another seller's parcels is tiny, but the value of the data and the reach is enormous. It's the AWS playbook applied to logistics. Amazon built its internal infrastructure, then realized it could sell that infrastructure to everyone else. Kanyao is positioned to do the same thing with physical logistics.
That leaves us with one big question for the future. As Alibaba expands this model to other routes, Southeast Asia, Latin America, Africa, what new challenges emerge? Each destination has different customs regimes, different infrastructure quality, different last-mile capabilities. The consolidation warehouse in Shenzhen works the same way regardless of destination, but everything after Dubai gets complicated fast.
Customs harmonization is the hard part. Every country has its own import rules, its own tariff codes, its own inspection requirements. Scaling the model means integrating with dozens of different customs systems, each with its own quirks. And in some markets, the last-mile infrastructure is so fragmented that even perfectly sorted pallets hit a wall at the destination airport.
The misconception I want to nail down, and this is the one that keeps coming up, is that consolidation warehouses are just like Amazon fulfillment centers. They're not. Amazon FBA holds inventory for weeks or months. Cross-dock consolidation warehouses hold parcels for hours. The operational logic is completely different. It's about sortation speed, not storage density. If you walk into one expecting shelves and pickers, you're in the wrong building.
The other one, that Alibaba owns all the planes and trucks. It doesn't. Kanyao is a coordination layer. The physical assets belong to partners. The real asset is the data platform that tells everyone what to move and when. That's not a detail, that's the whole strategy.
Where does this go next? I think the consolidation warehouse network eventually becomes a utility, not just for Alibaba, but for anyone who needs to move small parcels across borders at scale. The fixed costs are sunk, the relationships are built, the data engine is trained. At that point, the smart move is to open the gates.
If that happens, the competitive moat goes from wide to unassailable, because you're not just competing with a logistics company, you're competing with the infrastructure that other logistics companies are built on top of.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for making this episode happen. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you have a weird prompt about logistics, supply chains, or the hidden infrastructure that makes global trade work, send it to show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everyone.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.